When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Well, well, well. I take one day off and the guys manage to screw things up. But anyway, we've got half of a show today, simply because they had some technical issues. So we've got a 41-minute show. It's a great show. But we will pick up the conversation next week. Thanks for listening. Over to you guys.
All right, guys. Welcome to Knife Talk. This is a podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers, anybody interested in knife making and all that stuff. I'm Jeff Fader. I'm here with the great Mareko Momasi, Momasi Fire Arts. And Craig is nowhere to be found, ladies and gentlemen. Craig is not here today.
Craig he's is playing hooky. No, he's
Craig.
Not
Craig is, you know,
he's a hardworking man.
Speaking of Craig, I don't know if you heard the last episode of Knife Talk, 250th episode. His eulogy of the Queen was out of control. Good. That was like I had to listen to it three times, and I made my wife listen to it because it was this segment of it was like the best eulogy. I mean, we don't eulogize a lot of people, but I mean, it was our best eulogy yet. I nominate that is the best eulogy we've ever done.
I agree.
He did an amazing job, and he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. How you been?
I've been all right. Are we doing our week in
recap? We can do whatever you want. It's just the two of us. We don't have rules. We don't have rules. Are you kidding?
All right. Well, so the last, let's see, what am I? I'm probably on hour 8 to 10, somewhere in there, of hand sanding.
Oh, boy.
Blades and handles, getting them all spick and span and shined up for this show down in Nashville. It's the Arts and Metal Show, and it's happening not this weekend, but next weekend. All right. Oh, sorry.
Holy.
As this episode airs, it is happening this weekend on the 20—I got to look at a calendar. Sorry.
Don't worry about it.
The 23rd and the 24th. Anyways, yeah. It's going to be a fucking whirlwind. Nashville is not easy to fly into, I'll tell you
what. Is it?
No.
Really? Dude,
the best flights I could find that didn't cost an arm and a leg, flying in gets me in 20 minutes before midnight, which it could be worse.
Yeah.
And flying out, my flight leaves at 4 a.m. flying out. So
that
get
means you got to get there 2 hours early.
Right. So I don't know. We'll see how Saturday night goes. I might just go straight to the airport.
And then you're going from Nashville back home?
Yes, I'm going from Nashville back home. Yeah. Oh, so boy. I fly in Thursday, the 22nd. I get in at midnight. I'm there at the show Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning at the ass fucking crack of dawn. I'm out of there.
Ugh. That's good. It's good for the blood.
I don't know. I think it probably is, and I'm trying to see it that way, but goddamn, I'll tell you. I'm like, what am I doing to myself? Why am I doing this to myself?
Your hotel checkout guy at 1 in the morning ought to be a real treat. Yeah. He might be a real specimen.
Yeah, super savory. Yeah, so, yeah, and I have, I got 1.5 more blade faces to hand sand. So,
are you feeling good? Are you feeling not good?
As we're recording this, it's Friday afternoon. I'm going to get back to the shop after we're done here. And I'm not coming home for dinner.
Oh, really?
I'm going to stay at the shop. I'm going to just keep hand sanitizing. Because I really want to start working on getting the... I want to get them... Finish the hand sanding, get the blades marked, and prepped for etching. So that etching, when I come back to etch, whatever, the next day or whatever, that things are ready to rock and roll. And ideally and hopefully go super smooth.
Do you have like time for any issues that might occur? Are you on a tight deadline?
Yeah, okay. And I'm not super tight right now. So, like I said, I fly out Thursday afternoon. So I have until Thursday afternoon. Hopefully, I get it all done on Monday. If not, then Tuesday. And if not, then I also have Wednesday. And right. If that's even worse, still having problems, then Thursday morning until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
You know what you sound like?
What's that?
You sound like an organized guy. This is organized. See, this is the way I would have to work backwards. Mm. I would have to work backwards and say, all right, my flight is this time.
Yeah.
That means I need to leave the house at this time. That means I need to have everything packed up. I go backwards for everything.
Yeah.
And the fact that you have 4 more days or so, that's high level organization right there.
Yeah. I'm trying. I'm trying.
You're doing because I know sometimes you've said in the past that sometimes the coffee etch will be weird or the ferric will be weird or there'll be something in it that's just not the way you want it. And I'm sure you're going to be under your own personal scrutiny
for sure
now more than ever.
Yeah. Well, in this show, this is a very small show. It's like 25 makers. You have to be invited to go to this thing. It's called the Arts and Metal Show in Nashville, and there's going to be some of the best people. I'm going to be the bottom of the barrel at their show.
Stop it. Would you please stop
it? I'm serious.
I swear to God, you got to stop it.
There's people there that sell work for upwards of $100,000.
All right. So what? You're a fucking dude. You're the fucking guy. We're behind you, cheering you on.
I appreciate it. Neil's going to be my table guy. He's going to be there cruising with me. Hanging at the table, and
Neil Camimora.
Yeah, Neil Camimora, and right. then Mr. Nick Anger is going to be at this show as well. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with those guys, getting to know Nick. I've never met Nick before, so
Nick's been texting with me this past week. He's got his feet. I think he's done because he's got his feet up. He's down in
he's at the CMA.
He's down in Pennsylvania right now. He's texting pictures. You know? Did you know? And you can ask him about this. I don't know if you know this or not.
Okay.
But he is like a champion. Like he's a champion at making chicken wings.
I didn't know that.
Oh, dude!
Chicken wings is my favorite.
Oh, I was. I don't know if he's gonna make it for you this trip.
Oh no.
But I was when I was at the Center for Middle Arts with Pat. I was talking to Pat. Everybody was sitting down. Shout out to Fifth Alarm Forge listens to the podcast. He was there, and New Forest Forge. He was there. Stuart gave me a nice bottle of Dewars. He was there, and Steve Pellegrino. All the Knife Talk guys were there. It was awesome.
Nice.
And we're sitting down eating dinner, and I said maybe the table needs a pile of wings. So I ordered some wings down in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And Pat turns to me and he goes, Nick Anger, I think he said Nick Anger. I don't know if he said Nick Anger. He said every other point. Nick goes, he goes, Nick made the best wings I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
And when you talk to Pat, Pat is very serious. When he says things, he says them with intention. Like he talks the way he forges. Everything is very intentional. And I'm like, you don't say. And he goes, yeah. And then he started talking about, he's like, it's all about the fridge wind, man. It's all about the fridge wind. And I'm not going to go into it. The fridge wind. Apparently the fridge wind is a big thing. So Nick is apparently. And then I started getting texts of this pile of wings. Nick's, you know, by the barbecue, grilling up a pile of wings.
Okay.
And they're sending you pics of all the, you know, they're just like a abattoir full of chicken wings. And they're making wings the whole time. So he's not too worried about this thing. I guess he's done.
Okay.
You're already.
I have a wing problem. I think the last time I made wings, cooked them up, it was probably a couple pounds of wings. My wife likes chicken. She fucking hates chicken wings, though, because she's like,
why?
You're doing all this stupid bullshit work for what? Like a half an ounce of meat? And so, well, she hates it, and I'm like, here's, I feel like a fucking giant when I eat chicken wings.
Here's the best, the weirdest part about wings, and I think this is something that people don't talk about.
Okay,
and I think wings are outstanding.
Yes,
I do agree. Think that it's like, I mean, how many goddamn chickens got to die for your plate of wings? But I mean, then on the, you know, but that's just the way, part of the way it is. The reason why wings are so good is because it's the maximum amount of chicken to skin ratio.
Mm.
So every single bite, you eat a drumstick.
Yeah.
You eat a drumstick, maybe the fucking slabby, you know, skin falls off. Or maybe, but a wing, you get a bite of skin every time. So it's like,
sure.
It's the best.
Are you drums or flats?
Dude, I have this conversation all the time. I don't give a fuck, but apparently it's a big thing. I like them both.
I do like them both as well. But do you have a preference? If you're going to a plate and you see, say it's even just 50-50, wings and flats, what are you reaching for?
Depends on the size.
Okay, yeah.
Like if they're normal sized wings, I might go flats, and then you pop out the bones, and then you do it in one, or you do the old push where you hold it down and you push it and you push all the meat off the bones, and then you kind of like do it like you know, those cats in the cartoons pulling the bones of the fish out. You can do it that way. But if it's a big ass wing,
you start picking your teeth with the bones.
I know, but if it's a big ass wing, I mean, you might have to go drumette. Okay. You know?
All right. Yeah.
But I'm a sucker for wings, dude.
Yeah. I am too. I will say I will always reach probably for a flat first though. Before the drumette. But
honestly, I don't think about it too much. Okay. But I'm, you know, at the same time, it's like, I don't know what it is about wings, but like you got a plate of wings coming on. It's problematic. All right, was this a podcast? I tell you what, if I were to make wings, I would consider using my Even Heat. Even Heat is sponsoring Knife Talk. Even Heat makes the manufacturer of the finest heat treat ovens available. And if you find your next heat treat oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com. But you can also just check them out on evenheat-kiln.com. And then when you order them, there, go to Soul Ceramics. Soul Ceramics. And you can go to this specific link, knifetalk.net/heat. And the listeners will get 75% off any of their Even Heat oven and free shipping in the United States. So go get yourself one of them Even Heats from Soul Ceramics and, you know, warm up some wings.
Have you ever warmed up food in your Even Heat?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that.
I mean, I know you've kind of cooked out of the Even Heat, but
I'm glad you brought this up because I was David over at Tiger Claw Customs has been in the shop. He was staying in for lunch. I was running out. I let the dogs out for a leak. I get some lunch, and we had just finished doing some heat treating, and then it was the residual heat. And he says, well, "How do you feel about me putting the my sandwich in the oven?" I said, "Give him hell. Fucking give him hell."
Oh boy.
And then I came back and I said, "How did it go?" And he goes, It was perfect. Mm-hmm. It was perfect in the, he was wrapped in foil. He stuck it in there. He's like, it was perfect. So go ahead. I would put a little plate on there. I wouldn't want any of that ceramic dust on there, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I've done the same. I think the key is, keeping your food encapsulated because the brick dust, you don't want that extra grit in your food.
No, but the move would be a little rack that you can kind of like get a little convection action.
Sure.
I mean, you know, and speaking of which, shout out to Even Heat. I've been having I have one of the oldest of the LB18s, and they've been giving me a little technical support on the computer stuff. So they've been, I tell you what, if you have any kind of customer service questions, call Even Heat. Jim has been unbelievable. All the guys, Spence and Quentin, Quince. Spence and the boys have been awesome, and it's been great. So
shout out to Big Jim and the boys.
Yeah, Jim is his technical support. He's funny. He's a funny guy. God, I'm appreciative. Evening. All right, back to the show.
Yeah. Okay. So outside of that, So I got the knife and metal show or arts and metal show, and then I come back for 2 weeks. I got family in town. My sister was in town before. Now my mom's in town, so I'm gonna spend some time with them. It's getting ready. We're getting ready for clamming season out at the beach, digging up some razor clams. It's going to start raining here a little bit. We'll go do some mushroom hunting for chanterelles. Maybe we'll catch some chicken in the wood. And hopefully some lobsters, but it might be a little late for lobsters.
How do you catch lobsters? You swim for them?
No, lobster mushrooms. Sorry.
I'm thinking, holy shit, the guy's got a, I mean, what are you living? You're living in like the greatest place of all time.
And then I'm going to be at Maker Camp.
That's right.
Yeah. I gotta start planning. I gotta figure out my game plan because everything's there that's needed to build a knife. And I was talking to Austin, and he's like, "What do you want to demonstrate?" And I was like, "Well, what do you got there?" And he was running through all the different sponsors and people who were gonna be there with equipment. And I was like, "Well, shit, I'll just build a knife." And so I'm gonna build a knife from start to finish. So do the forging on the cold iron. I'm gonna do the grind or heat treating out of Even Heat's gonna be there. I'm going to do the finish grinding, probably even some S grinding, and hopefully we'll get to some handle sculpting all in 4 days. We're going to see what we can do.
So you're going to be in all the different tents.
Yeah.
Because there's the coal iron tent. You're going to be running around. You're going to be busy.
I'm going to run around like a madman, but I'm going to keep my shit together, though. I'm going to be tidy. I'm not going to be making any messes.
Don't worry about that.
I can't clean up.
Listen, you can hang out with us in the Modern Forge guys. We're gonna have anvils. We may or may not have our own press. But whatever you need, you got our backup. You got our backup.
Right.
It's gonna be me and Jesse are gonna make something, and Cliff and John are gonna make something, and Carrie's gonna make something, and then whatever you need. We got your back. And so don't worry about that.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun, and then the family's gonna be there. My wife and my kid are gonna be there too. So that'll be good.
That'll be great.
Yeah, the kids
gonna love
it. There'll
be lots of things for them to see.
Oh my god, the kids gonna love it so much. And then after that, I guess we kind of talked about this before, but then I'm going to New Hampshire right after Maker Camp. Well, sorry, I'm going to Vermont, then New Hampshire, and I'm teaching decoding mosaic Damascus. So the way I read and look at Damascus. But the class is me teaching you how to do that, basically. So you can reverse engineer patterns. You can predict patterns the same way I do. And, so it'll be a kind of a three-day intensive, really trying to help people also understand how the material moves based on how much force you're using, what the source of the force is versus, you know, a hand hammer versus a power hammer versus a hydraulic press. All those do different things. Especially at different forces, and that all affects the way that the pattern moves. And so, understanding that, And then, I'm going to Dragon's Breath the following weekend, and I'm teaching with Jamie Lundell. We're co-teaching a class about. So we're going to get into some Damascus design, but a lot of it's actually going to be based around unique kind of approaches to forge welding materials because Jamie's doing some crazy. Mosaic Damascus, and he's doing them at he's doing them at size forge welding, basically. So it's almost the size of a sword already when he welds it up, and then he forges it and forge welds it together and then forges a sword out of it. But there are some particular steps and things you got to take into consideration when you do that. And so he and I are going to be co-teaching a class around Damascus design and Damascus forge welding. And then I come back and I can relax for a little bit.
Will you be videoing these classes to put on your Patreon?
That is a good question. We haven't really talked through that yet, but it could be a possibility.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
Get that content for your Patreons.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, now I put that in your head and I apologize. But it sounds good. It sounds like you're super busy.
I'm a little busy. I'm trying not to be stressed out about it. The biggest stress right now, like the going to Maker Camp, is going to be fun.
That'll be fun.
It'll be playtime. But when it comes to the teaching stuff, it's the same thing with my knife stuff. Like I'm always worried that people are not going to be happy, and especially with the teaching, like, did they get all the information they were hoping to get? Do they understand it? I feel like I feel a lot of responsibility about whether or not people are getting the information, but ultimately I can only do so much. I can only say the same thing so many times, but I'm trying to take into consideration, teaching aids and stuff like that. I'll be putting together like a little tiny like booklet, to be able to offer to the people in that class so they have something to take away with them. Because it's not going to be a normal, especially Zach Jonas's. You know, in most classes are you make something and you take it away and you leave a course with tongs or a knife or whatever. This is all about knowledge, and so I want people to try to hopefully walk away with some new knowledge and understanding. So
teaching's the hard part about teaching now, and this is something I talked to Pat about and I talked to Jesse about, is, you know, forging in general, bladesmithing, blacksmithing, as a hobby or like a recreational activity is a new thing. So like in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of history, it's not really ever was meant to be, it never considered a recreational activity. So it's like the teaching of it is kind of new within the past 50 years.
Right.
Like, I mean, you don't have it like, you know, like 100 years ago, people weren't just being like, I'd love to learn how to make a knife. You know, sure. It didn't really, I mean, that you became an apprentice and then you had your business. So this kind of educational thing is a new thing, and we can figure out ways in which to do it better. And I think that we're headed towards a golden age in terms of the you know, regular people kind of knowing what's going on and having the ability to do it.
Yeah. And I think part of the tricky part for me is like some of the stuff, or actually a lot of the stuff I'll be teaching is stuff, you know, patterns that I've innovated in understanding, and teaching the understanding of how I created those patterns and all that stuff. And so like teaching stuff that either only I can teach or nobody's really kind of been able to understand to a point to be able to kind of walk people through what's happening in the material. And so it's trying to kind of think that out as well. Fortunately, my wife is a teacher by trade, and so she's kind of helped me with kind of putting together a lesson plan and shit like that, and where to start and where to finish. If this is where I'm trying to get, you know, working backwards, like you were talking before, working backwards, so we figure out where to start and things are walked through in a reasonable progression so that it makes sense by the time we get done.
There you go. You got it. Now just get ready for Maker Camp. You're going to be overwhelmed by the people and the things, because this year is going to be the biggest yet, and it's going to be a lot of, like, it's going to be a lot. Yeah. And when I say a lot, it's going to be things that you're going to want to see, but you're going to have to, like, manage your own time because, you know, it is a lot for you to have to do in a couple of days, you're going to want to catch all this shit, and you're going to see people and see things and meet people.
I struggle with those kind of events, especially when it's the first time for me, because I feel kind of awkward or anxious, and I don't know. I feel. I mean, I'll know some people, right? But I'm sure there's plenty of people I won't know. And so the way I feel comfortable is if I'm just busy doing what I know how to do, and talk people through it.
You're gonna know all of us. You're gonna know Josh Prince will be there, and Steve Pellegrino is gonna be there, and we'll be there.
That'll definitely help, for sure.
Don't worry about it. I gotta do. I don't know if I don't think I've told you this, but.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Mark Adams Pictures does the photographs,
right,
has been talking to you for about a year about me leading a panel discussion.
Okay.
And I said to him like a couple of years, sure, no problem. Thinking we'll all forget, and I don't need to sign the dotted okay. line. And then a couple months ago, he goes, "Oh, are you ready for that panel discussion?" I'm just like, "What? Oh yeah." I'm like, "Oh god." So I'm going to lead a panel discussion okay. at the Maker Camp, and then I've just gotten some. Jesse sent me some recording gear, so I'm going to be doing some recording. And maybe if you have time, maybe we'll do an episode of Knife Talk with him or out him. I don't know. We have to figure that out. We got to work all that out. Either it might be too much, and maybe we just do one before we leave. We'll figure something out.
Well, if you
but it so sounds like
leading a panel. If you're leading a panel, I mean, is that something that you are you going to record it to put on full blast, or we could use that for KTP?
It's going to be Maker centric. So it's going to be Josh Prince was invited on. I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm just like the guy. So Mark had Josh Prince, Leah Arapach, the Dre Stroyer. Anna De Leon, Andrea De Leon, and Keith Decent. So four different people from four different makers, and it's going to be like a maker centric thing. I'm still working out the details. So
I got you. Okay.
But I'm going to try to put it on full blast because I mean it's like it would be nice to figure something out. But it'll be fun. I have to Cliff and I have been on the phone a lot, and I just talked to Jesse, and we're talking about what we need and what we're going to do and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
So. Sounds like you're going to be doing a lot of grinding.
I'm probably going to be doing a bit of grinding, yeah.
And if I were you, and you were going to do grinding, I would use Combat Abrasives. And if you go to combatabrasives.com, put in promo code KNIFETALK15, you're going to get 15% off all your belts and abrasives, your compounds, all that stuff that makes your grinding a lot easier, guys. So you'd be surprised. I've gone to combat when I buy my belts. You put in that 15%. And it strips off a lot of dough, if you don't mind me saying so. Sure. So I would highly suggest going to combatabrasives.com, get yourself that 15% off with Knife Talk 15. Okay? See, Craig? I'm fucking making it work. I'm making it work. boom. Cross that off the list. So, that's the way it is.
Well, how's your last week been? We've been talking about my shit. What have you been up to?
Frankly, it's been a high highs and low lows. After last week's episode of Knife Talk, I came home to find out that my kid was positive for coronavirus, which was a fucking drag. And she was bummed out about it the first week of school, and then these little mouth germ bags
breathing.
Came back and jacked everybody. So then Monday, my wife, poor Hillary, she tested positive, and she does not do well. She's not asymptomatic of coronavirus. She gets her bell rung, and actually I've been coming home and so I'm negative. Thank the Lord. And I'm like, last time we had it, we have a small house and I was trying to avoid it and I got it anyway. And this time I'm on high alert. I've been ducking and diving and dodging and weaving and so far so good. Everything's been the way it is. So actually after this, I'm going to go pick up I've been making nice food for my wife. And do you know how I've been doing the canary in the coal mine to test if I have coronavirus or not before taking all the tests? Is for me, the last time I had it, I just lost my sense of taste.
Okay.
So at night, I have a glass of Dewar's from.
What is that?
Dewar's Scotch. I got a nice bottle of Dewar's from New Forest Forge. Brought me a bottle of Dewar's.
Yeah.
So I have a sip of Dewar's, and if I can taste it, then there's no reason to take the test. And then in the morning, I have coffee, and I have my sense of taste. Now, I've been testing anyway, and everything's been cool, but that's the way. So it's been a little stressful in the house, I must admit. But in the shop,
the Dewar's.
When coronavirus hits, boy, last time coronavirus hits, I was drinking a bottle of Jameson's a week. I mean, it was like I was putting it on. I'm not putting it on this hard this time around, and I'm still maintaining my weight, but at the same time, it's just like, listen, I deserve a little Dewar's, don't you think? I should test to see if I still have any taste. So that's that. I'm trying to make light of it because it is a bit of a drag. I'm sleeping in the guest couch, which sucks. But, look, what are you going to do? Whatever it takes to make my family happy. And in the shop, we've been hauling ass. Tiger Claw Customs, David, has been awesome. We just finished gluing up the turkey club sets. I'm going to have 10 sets of turkey clubs. It's going to be a K-tip, a fork and a paring knife, and we're going to have 10 of them ready for Thanksgiving to ship. So that's very exciting. We're happy about that.
Were you building those real quick? Were you building those without any pre-orders? No
pre-orders. We've been slowly been making it harder and harder to do custom orders because we want to have stuff on hand.
Yeah.
So like we took our email. We made it a little harder for people to email the shop. Like you can email through the
It's not on the website anymore.
It's not on the website anymore, but there are ways in which you can make it. You got to be able, if you really want to get it, you can get it and AZ will take care of you. But like I was on the computer today looking at that list and I'm cutting down on them custom orders. So custom orders are like dwindling down and now we're in the I'm making them and selling them. So that's a huge thing for us. Something I wanted to do for a long time. I have this litmus test. There's a screen, and if I can scroll without it moving around, I'm doing a good job. And we're just about, I need about 3 more orders to go out, and then it's not going to be moving. It's not going to be going up and down anymore. So that's all September's out as of today. And then it's good. I've got some good interviews coming up on Full Blast, and I'm psyched to be here with you. And what else? We got some things to talk about. We have questions. We have dilemmas. We have some listener feedback, and I'm going to have to deal with this. I had some unfortunate interaction with Nate Zimmerman that I'm going to have to deal with. But yeah, oh boy, Nate Zimmerman.
You blocked
had
him,
some,
right?
Well, we're going to have to. You know what? This is called a radio tease, my man, and we're going to leave this to the end. That's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen. We are not flea bags. We do not eat in the middle of the podcast while we're talking. We do not do all that stuff. We come in hard on a Monday. No, that's what she said. But we're not flea bags, okay? So that is a proper radio tease.
Okay.
So what would you like to do first?
Let's do questions. Let's get some questions.
Knock one out, my man. Knock one out.
I don't know who this is from, but it says, hey, man, I got to ask you a question. Here are my questions from, I'm going to say anonymous.
This is from Jacob from Missouri. Oh, Jacob from Missouri.
What's up, Jacob? All right. Jacob is asking, what do I need to know before I go to my first show? So I think it sounds like he's getting ready for his first knife show.
Yep.
I mean, we kind of talked about this stuff back when Blade was happening. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? What are some good pointers that you've noticed?
Well, when you're the other is some more questions that might kind of add to it. He also says, "How many knives do you need to have?" Okay. Yeah, just reel through them, and then we can, kind of hit them one.
Okay. So he says, "What do I need to know before I go to my first show? How many knives do I need to have on the table? Should they be in glass cases so people don't just walk up and grab them, or should they be displayed in the open air? What's a fair price to charge for a quick sharpen, and any other advice you may have? More info, this show is in a town of 10,000 people. Most of the show will be guns with only a few knife makers. Most of the items sold will be used. Not much collector-level stuff." Oh, I got you. It's at the end. It ends. Jacob from Missouri. Okay. So
it's a good question.
It's a good...
And he's going to have a different situation. He's going to have a different situation. He's going to have a different situation than if you were to go to Blade Show, because this is all gun. This is a gun show.
Yeah, this is a gun show. I don't know. Because we have local gun shows too, and I don't know how much I would trust my work to be sitting out in the open for people to just grab. So if he's able to get a hold of some sort of glass case, which shouldn't be unusual at these shows, I would do it for sure. You know, that just keeps somebody's, whatever, deep fried onion ring hand from grabbing your fucking...
You mean King Charles the Third hands?
Yeah.
Sausage fingers?
Oh, my God.
Big old sausage hands? Go ahead. Sorry. That was for Craig.
But yeah, I would say do that, but still have, have a microfiber cloth or some sort of... whatever kind of oil or wax you might use on your blades, have that handy so that the second a person stops touching it, you can start wiping it right off, because people are gross. And not very thoughtful, honestly, and surprisingly.
They pick up.
What's that?
There are some people who just pick up because they want to pick up, and some people like me who are like, I don't touch shit.
Well,
but there are some people who just it's like almost like an alpha thing, you know?
Yeah, it's people aren't very smart, and I'll tell the story again of our dear friend Rick Hall's knife. He had his beautiful knife set from he tested for Journeyman Smith at Blade Show last year. He was at he was back at his table. He passed. He was, you know, I'm sure a huge relief of pressure. It was off of shoulders. He was talking to people, table neighbors, and all that stuff. And some fucking ding dong walks up to his table, picks up the biggest fucking knife on the table, which was probably close to 20 inches long overall. And he proceeds to test for sharpness by shaving hair on his arm, but instead slices his fucking arm open and starts bleeding on the knife and all over the fucking place.
Christ.
So, something like that probably wouldn't have happened if the knife was in a case.
And I've told the story, that when we were at the first Maker Faire back in Queens.
Okay, yeah.
And one of Jimmy DiResta's cronies picked up two of Cliff and John's hammers that had mirror polished faces and started hitting them together. And I started yelling at the guy, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I wanted to see how hard they were." And I said, "Hey, they're hard. You don't need to do that." And then Jimmy almost threw this. He said, Jimmy DiResta said to the guy, "Do I have to put you in the car?" It was great. Yeah, people don't care. They don't know. It's almost like this. I don't know, man. I think about this because I think of this particular. I was thinking about having some friction folders, just like six or six friction folders to sell at Maker Camp.
Okay.
And I was thinking, now if I'm forging, what if somebody wants to see a friction folder? These motherfuckers pick things up,
right?
And then some of these guys are like, you know, what are they? How would I do it? Would they make a cage or? Do I have to like stop every time to do it? And it is kind of like something that to think about.
Hmm. You have them on display behind a rope, and then you have an organized time. Okay, at 7:30 after dinner, we'll start talking about handling and looking at things.
I don't know,
in person.
Man. It's a tricky one. I get that whole thing. I hate it. I hate it when. So what do you do in terms of like? I mean, in regards to let's go to the other thing.
Okay.
How many knives does she have on the table? What do you think?
Yeah, that's another hard one because a gun show like this, like he said, there's not going to be very many actual knife makers there. What there'll probably be is a lot of knife collectors, or like quote unquote knife collectors, but people who collect knives to turn around and resell them. They'll probably have a table filled with knives, right? But as a handmade or a homemaking knife maker,
oh boy,
making your knives at home. I think what was I told? Like the golden number is 3 to 5, because you want it to look, you want to have some variety to show what you're capable of, but you don't want to have so many on your table that it looks like it's too easy. It's like there's like a weird sales psychology behind it.
Oh, I like that idea. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You want to make it a little bit more exclusive.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to make it look like, you know, obviously the work, somebody's going to eventually have a look at it and you want it to look good. But if you have 30 pieces on the table, it's going to be like, it's kind of like, honestly, it's kind of overwhelming for people, I think. And I've seen lots of people just cruise right on by tables because there's too much to look at, especially when they're handmade things. But, you know, if you got 4 pieces on the table, then it's a little pared down. They're all very interesting. It's a little more approachable, I think, for potential buyers.
So then what you can do is you have a box underneath the table.
That's it. That's the move.
And then you have a pile. See, this is interesting because in my mind, I'm thinking if I were to go to one of these things and have a table, which will never happen, P.S. my dad used to drag me to farmers markets, and I hated every second of it. So the chances of me doing this are very, very slim. And trust me, when you see me at Maker Camp, get ready for me to be a little bit on the sour side. Don't worry.
If you're going to test for Journeyman Smith, you have to have a table at Blade Show. You got to do it, bud.
Well, I'm not talking about it anymore because I don't know. I had 3 years. I might stop paying again and have to go start to the drawing board. But my litmus test would be to go to anything is I better bring enough that it makes it worth my time.
Sure.
Like, don't do enough to just break even. Like, and I know that you're thinking, oh, you're arrogant because you think you're going to sell everything. But, I mean, you want it to be worth your time and energy. And this isn't fish. You're not selling fresh fish. So whatever you don't have, you can have for Christmas or whatever. And yeah. It's like, it's the best. I mean, having inventory rules. That's the fucking best. Having inventory is the best. So make yourself a pile of them. I like Mareko's idea. Have 4 or 5 of them on the table. And then when they move, you bing up another one. And then, you know, I think that's the move.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Where are we at? Should I use a glass case? I don't notice a lot of glass cases at the Blade Show.
That's true. At Blade Show, you only see them every so often. But at shows like a gun show or the Eugene knife show, there were a lot of people there who would also be, you know, they have honestly literally 100 knives on the table, and the easiest way to kind of manage and keep your eyes on everything is if they were behind a case, and if you wanted to touch it, you had to ask.
Right.
I also don't think it's necessarily even a bad thing to do that with 4 knives on the table, because I think it is. I wouldn't be able to trust the potential people walking by to not just grab the knife. And anymore, I'm not interested in that game anymore.
But
if you
want
to touch
like,
it, you got to ask me.
But it's the same thing as, like, do you leave your backpack with your computer in your car when you're going to the grocery store? I mean, it's probably okay, but do you want to take the chance of your car getting broken into and your computer getting taken, right? I mean, I bring my shit because I'm just like, yeah. Better safe than sorry.
Sure.
And then the last one is, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I got to figure something out for Maker Camp. And time is ticking, ladies and germs. And the last one is, I think you should do great. I think any advice you have, number one is find backup for when you have to take a leak. I think that was the number one that you said for Blade Show.
Oh, yeah.
And then have something to eat.
Yeah, have snacks on hand. It's not a guarantee. Like, you know, whatever. Like, get yourself some Nutri-Grain bars or whatever. But
yeah.
Something handy, because it is sometimes hard, or often hard, to get away from your table.
And they might not have glizzies at the fucking
right. Gun
show, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, we can all hope, but
there might be some deep-fried Oreos or something like that. I mean, who knows what kind of horse shit this is. Am I in Missouri? I might get a, you know, who knows? You could bring yourself a sandwich, you know?
Yeah.
Plotch away.
Plotch it.
That's right, plash away.
His last part is, any what is it? What's a fair price to charge for a quick sharpen? I think it depends on how much time you're really putting into it. But honestly, like, if somebody's going to, you know, poo-poo $5 or $10 to get their knife sharpened, then you don't need them, you know?
Yeah, people who want their knife sharpened are expecting, I mean, what are they expecting? People don't give you trouble anymore, do they?
No. No, just the one guy. The very first guy.
I think if I had a table and my primary reason for being there was to sell knives, and then I brought a grinder in there or brought something in there and I could knock a knife out quick, I would probably price it so I didn't have to do it all the time. Like, sure. I probably would do, like, yeah, $20 a knife.
Yeah, and I could see you wanting to bring something like that, because if people don't want to buy a knife, then maybe at least you can make money from sharpening knives. But I think ultimately, like, you're better off doing one or the other.
Right. I think you're right, because then all of a sudden you charge $20, and some guy's going to be like, well, let's see how my $20, how worth it my $20 was. And then all of a sudden he's trying to, like, you know, slice the atoms off of something. You know, it's like these guys, they do some ninja tests, and all of a sudden they're just like, you know, what can you do? But I tell you what I would do. What I would do is I'd bring some sandpaper just to keep yourself occupied, a little bit of Indossi USA Rhino Web.
Bad move.
Your hand sand a knife while you're there. And if you were to go to TexasFarrierSupply.com and you put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, you're going to get 10% off your order. Get yourself some Rhino Wet, for sure. We use Rhino Wet all the time. I just got a stack of Rhino Wet from Evan over at Texas Ferry Supply.
Nice.
And I used KNIFETALK10. And it's great stuff. Those guys at Texas Ferrier Supply are awesome. And just to let you know, there is a hammer-in at, I won't bring it up, I didn't realize I was doing this, but that's fine. So November 5th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the JDCK Texas Ferrier Supply hammer-in. It's live demos, hands-on forging giveaways, enter to win a knife or a class. 603 South New Hope Road, Kendale, Texas, 76060. I think that if you would go to Texas Ferrier Supply, it's _ KnifeWorks is their Instagram handle. They'll have some more information about this hammer-in. So, and then while we're at it, the Twin Cities Knife Show is coming up in 20 days, or under 20 days, probably 10 days. It is a knife show in Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota, from September 30th through October 2nd. It's definitely in less than 20 days. It's put on by the Midwest Knife Makers Guild. It's a nonprofit event. The show is only open to knife makers. Don't worry about that. There are 58 custom makers there, and the tables are sold out, but the website is TwinCityKnifeShow.com. Good luck to, I know there's a number of friends of ours who are going to the Twin City Knife Show to have a booth, and I'm sure they're going to listen to what we're saying, and then they're probably going to bring a catheter and a sandwich, and then they'll be ready to go. So, I mean, maybe not a cat. I mean, someday a company is going to come up and they're going to realize we can make a very easy catheter that's not uncomfortable. And it's like, it's going to be like a dick sleeve. I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be like a fucking dick funnel. I don't know what it's going to be. And I'm sure the Texas Ferrier Supply isn't interested in this part of the read, but fine. Listen, you know what you're getting with me, motherfucker. Craig's off. Who knows what Craig's up to? So, there you go. All right, that's the end of that. So, there we go. So, let's go to the next question. Ugh, I don't know why I did that. Fine.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.